That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. If you're a pacifier pusher, that's all I need to know about you.
Wait a minute. What is a pacifier pusher?
It's a whole new legion of people where I don't know where they've come from. Mm. But every time, like, I'm out and my baby starts to, like, whimper a little tiny bit, they'll be like, oh, give her a pacifier. And I always, she doesn't take one. I'm not one of those people that's anti-pacifier. She just, she's not into it.
I didn't realize this was a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not her thing. And they're like, oh, put that pacifier in that baby's mouth.
I swear, like, four of them have come. They're like, no, you're probably using the wrong pacifier. I go, no, no, no. I've tried a couple of them. Like, she's just, she really doesn't like that.
Right. It's my baby. I know.
Right.
I know my baby. I live with her.
I gave birth to this.
Right.
And
I
mean, then they start telling me.
Good to see you at Christmas tree shop, though. Get out of my business.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, well, did you try this version? Did you try? I go, I don't. If she doesn't want it, like, why? Is somebody paying you?
Here's the thing that I know is that babies are a conversation that certain people are always going to want to be in.
It's so weird.
So there's the thing. You know what I mean? You're not going to get away from that, I don't think, right?
Oh, she's sucking her thumb. You should try to give her a pacifier. No, she's just eating her hands. That's, I guess, what babies do. They're
she's a baby.
Hungry.
She's trying to tell you. Oh, good. Well, it's good that you're here to tell me what the baby is trying to tell me. Because I've seen this baby before. Have you seen this baby before?
Right.
You haven't seen this baby. This is my baby.
And you want to know something about
pacifiers? Did I come here with the wrong baby?
Can I tell you something?
What's up?
I had my pacifier till I was in kindergarten. True story.
Yeah, it's probably best you don't give her one.
Right.
Them adults.
I feel like being a pacifier pusher isn't the best thing in the long-term interest anyway if she doesn't want it.
You know, you're starting a debate right now. You know that there's somebody yelling at their radio.
Right.
Good luck with that.
That's all I need to know about you.
I've got one for you here. If you swap a Jenga piece from the large bar-size game at your local club or bar, because this is the thing now. You go to bars, right, and they have all these different games set up inside.
Yep.
And Jenga, it's just getting larger and larger depending on what place you're going to.
Like, physically, they're really big now.
Oh, yeah. No, they're totally big. And yet, of course, when everybody in a large group gets a little bit wound up before they go out, one person's like, Jenga was so awesome, and they take a piece. If that's you, that's all I need to know about you.
Then
you end up
trying
to play Jenga with half a Jenga game.
It's not the same.
Right. All right?
That stack is like only 3 inches high.
Right. You know what I mean? There's not a lot on the line when like you said, right, it's only as tall as your hand.
Right.
If you're the lady that decided to climb into the jaguar pit at an Arizona zoo to take a selfie with it, that's all I need to know about you.
She got mauled.
She got mauled, as rightfully, because it's a jaguar.
Yeah, sometimes people do wild stuff,
I don't
man.
Get it. Like, what? Like, how many likes are you going to get on social media of you, the selfie, and the jaguar that's worth your life?
Right.
If you're, like, a person who's, like, an activist or, like, I mean, God forbid, you're trying to do harm to yourself, there's easier ways. I'm all I'm saying. You know what I mean? There's easier, you know, cleaner ways.
Climbing into a pit with a jaguar.
Right.
Not recommended.
Right.
Debating what filter you're going to use.
Right.
No, not the time.
Let me give it dog ears. Like, no.
All right, you want to chime in too, call us. 1-800-330-9999. That's all I need to know about you. It's one thing to win the lottery once, but to win the lottery twice, back to back.
$20,000 each time.
Wow.
Woo!
Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. We have Jim Zygmunt joining us in studio. Jim, where do you live?
Trumbull.
You're in Trumbull, and this happened to you. You got to tell us the story.
The Magic Man.
So Monday it snowed, and they canceled all the schools. My wife was home with the kids, and I coached my daughter's basketball team. And that night, the Cardinals were in the playoffs, and they canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be in Stanford Tuesday morning to do some work for a customer, and I figured 95 was clear. There was no traffic Monday. Let me go to Stanford now. So around 4:30, I'm headed to Stanford. I stop off in Norwalk at Best Buy to pick up some parts, and there's a Crossroads, which is a high-tier, high-volume location.
Yeah.
I stopped in. And literally, I had $20 in my pocket, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the owner, so I said, let me have the 20X. And I scratched it, and it hit it said 20 times 1,000.
Wow.
So I wasn't supposed to be there.
I don't even know what these things look like.
Yeah.
I don't even, it's like my dream come true.
You know what I mean? Right.
So let me give you some
stats. Was it on the first line? Was it on the last line? Or was it? I like to always believe that I'm going to know.
It was a 12th line.
So
it's a
12th line.
See, I'm into it like that. Yeah.
See, he knows. Yeah. Right, okay.
So the 20X cash is the fourth edition one. There are 116 only $20,000 winners. There's 2.2 million tickets printed.
Right.
So now you hit on this $20,000 one. You have a 1 in 19,000 chance of actually getting it.
Right.
And then what happens?
So the guy was we went nuts. And he said, well, look behind you. I just got the new state lottery vending machine.
Right, right. Some so, people believe in the machines, man.
So to further fuel my addiction, I got a machine now.
Right.
So,
yep.
You had to hit the ATM then at that point, well, right? Get a little something, or did he give you an advance?
No, I went to the ATM machine. I pulled out like $200.
I'm yeah, like, no, you were good.
No, I'm like,
I'm good. Oh, we're going to charge you $350 for the withdrawal. I'm good.
Not a problem.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, but my wife is listening, so she's mad now. She hates those charges.
Busted.
So I put the money in, and I played the same ticket. First one was a loser. Second one was a loser. Third one, I scanned it. It was $20,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So if the chances of a 1 in 19,000 of hitting $120,000
right.
in the same, what, 20 minutes?
Eight minutes.
Oh, my gosh. In the same 8 minutes, he hits $20,000.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I tell my mom this story. She freaks out. My mom is a big lottery lady. And she goes, was he able to cash them there because it's a high tier center?
No.
The Connecticut Ave one in Norwalk is, right? You can do it there.
No, you have to go to Rocky Hill. If you win a grand prize, you got to go to Rocky
Hill. Anything over $5,000, I think you have to go to Rocky Hill is the rule or whatever. But you know what? I mean, it's amazing. I have 1,000 questions.
Right.
So what is the right, I mean, you went to the machine.
Right.
What is the right amount of tickets that you go and buy when you're at the machine? Do you buy three at a time?
It's funny you say
that. Do you buy one, buy another? What do you do?
No, what I'll do is, I always buy the first ticket. Always.
Okay.
If the first ticket loses, I'll buy the second ticket.
Right.
Sometimes I'll buy the third one. In this case, I bought the third one.
You buy the whole roll?
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done that. Last ticket. First and last.
First and last ticket.
Yeah, always.
First and last. So you'll ask him, what's new? Will you ask the guy?
I'll ask him what number's on the ticket. I'll ask him, did you just open a book? And I won't play anything less than 10.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right, but if you think this story is crazy, wait till you hear what happened to Jim a week before he won this. You're not going to believe it. It's coming up next right here on Star 99.9. Imagine you go to play your scratch-off tickets. You hit for $20,000 on a ticket. You turn around, you buy another one, you hit for another $20,000.
It's incredible.
That happened to Jim Zygmunt joining us this morning in the studio from Trumbull. Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. You just told us a story about how this happened. Just last week, you hit the $40,000 total.
Right. Right.
But what happened the week before?
When I hit on Monday, it was my father's birthday. And the Friday before March 1st is my birthday. So usually I'll play numbers along with scratch-offs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll play my birthday number 2 days before, 2 days after, which is 3165. So last Wednesday, I played 3165, put a $10 bid on it, and won $24,000.
Come on!
Oh, my God.
But you're the lucky guy. You're the guy that this happens to. Like, you consistently win, right?
I mean, you
keep taking the swings. That's the thing. You keep taking the swings, too, you know?
But it's timing. I mean, I follow the numbers, and the numbers have an ebb and a flow. I mean, CT Lottery would hate for me to say that, but they catch a flow. You'll see numbers go back to back. You'll see numbers go one off, one behind. And I'll watch them, and then I'm like, because that number, 3165, came out 4 days earlier, box.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, it's due. It's going to come. And I
mean,
played
you sound
it.
Like my mom. It's crazy.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like a lot of people feel like they've cracked the code on the play
no
four.
Yeah. Right. There's
but,
no code.
But I feel like there's more believers in the play four. Like you were saying before, like Powerball's not your thing.
No.
Mega Million's not your thing.
No. Not
but,
at all.
But you play consistently with play four and with scratch tickets, and you do relatively well.
And when you play the numbers, I'll go into the stores, and you'll see guys that, like, spend $80 and play 100 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They put 50 cents on it. I'll play two or three numbers, put $20 on it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that if you hit, boom, right, you win big.
My mom texted me last night, because this week is my daughter's birthday on Wednesday, and it's 313, which also happens to be my wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you better play it all week.
Right.
She's
like, get out there. If you're not going to play it, you're going to the store
she's
with
like,
me.
I already played for you, but you should play
but
it
you
too.
Should play also,
all
right?
Ma.
We'll split it.
But what made me giggle was because we had gone back and forth on Facebook, and you said that you should take your wife to couples court because she wants to spend all your winnings. What's going on? Like, when you call your wife, you say, "Hey, I just hit for another $40,000, two $20,000s back to back." Like, what's her reaction?
I sent her a text on the first one, and she misread the ticket, and she got excited that I won $200.
Right, right.
And then I said, "No, it's $20,000," and she sort of freaked out, and then almost 7 minutes
right,
later, I sent another text.
And then she's like, no, I got that
text.
And you're like, no, it's another one. And she's like, no, you're a liar.
Yeah. It's just insane.
A week after hitting $24,000 too on top of it.
So what do you do with all this money? Like, do you go on trips? Do you just put it in savings for the kids? Like, what do you do with it?
You know, like, usually this happens when we have something to do in the house. Like,
right.
I have appliances that I broke in the past. I played like $3-$5 tickets in 3 months and won $15,000. Bought a new refrigerator.
I need to redo my kitchen right now. So that's my new savings plan. Is I'm just going to go play buy all these tickets.
But only if something happens to the house, it breaks. You got to fix it.
Right.
But I got our floor got damaged from the refrigerator a couple months ago. I'm going to fix that. The April vacation is coming up. We're taking the kids to D.C.
Nice.
So now that's paid for. I mean, so, yeah.
Raven's going to take a sledgehammer to the side of his house.
I just need something bad to happen so something good can happen after, right?
So, yeah, good karma will come right to you, yeah.
Jim, thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on all your good luck. Raven and I are going to hold your hand on the way out just to get some of that luck, just a little bit.
Cradle you and carry you to the parking lot here. That won't be weird at
all, right? Not creepy at all. Not at all.
God, could you chew any louder?
Did you watch this without me?
Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom.
What do you want to get for dinner?
Let us solve your problems. Star 99.9 Honda of Westport Couples Court.
Liz and David joining us together this morning. David, let's start with you. What's going on?
Liz and I decided to move in together and put it up in the air about financial obligations towards the place. And I'm assuming we're agreeing to like a 50-50 split of the rent, but right now that's not really floating her boat so much, and I just think it would be best and equitable on all sides to just pay your fair share.
Liz, what's your position on this? I take it you don't want to split the rent?
He makes a significantly amount more money than I do. I almost feel that it should be based on the percentage of what we make. I really don't have a lot of money left over for the things I need. Now, I'm not trying to seem like a gold digger. It's just based on, you know, he makes more. I mean, I wouldn't even throw the love part in there, but come on. He loves me.
Right.
Well, I mean, you were doing great right until you made that part. I mean, I get what you're saying.
But I mean, I have to say that because I feel kind of taken advantage of, but a little bit.
You could be paying half of all the bills, but if you never have money to do anything left over after that, David, you're in the same position. You're going to feel like you're paying for it whenever you guys want to go out. Yeah, so what's the difference?
That's tough.
I agree, but there's a part of me that's like, if just because we're together, it's a different situation. Like, if it was a friend or anybody else, you wouldn't assume that the other person, just because they make more, is going to now be paying more of a share. I'm not putting this out there in a negative way, but let's say something happens and we split up. I would want to know that we all contributed equally and contributed. I would expect for us to pay our fair share as much as we can.
This is interesting.
It is.
What we do is we ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, David, that if you're going to rent a place together, it should be 50-50, just like a roommate. You guys aren't married yet, and your finances are still separate. But they may see your side too, Liz. If he makes significantly more than you, it should be more equivalent, like 70-30 or something like that.
Well, that's all about
Whatever the percentage that makes sense, because I don't have any money left over.
All right, well, what we do is we ask our audience what they think, and let's see. Do you guys both agree to listen to what they have to say?
Sure.
Great. Give us a call, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Honda Westport Couples Court on Star 99.9.
Liz and David have been dating for a while, and they decided to move in together, except they have one major disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
Liz believes that because she makes significantly less than her boyfriend, that she should pay less in rent. He thinks that it should be 50-50 because they're just dating. They're not married. Huh.
Finances are always a tricky part.
Honda of Westport Couples Court. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
I'm on her side. It's a practice to marriage. If it is that we go in on equal, we have to make, you know, work out our equivalency. If at the end of the day, they're living in the same household and she's not a friend, like he stated before, then there is a difference. And whether it's 60-40 or 70-30, he needs to work with her. And it's, like I said, it's a practice to a marriage. It can't be a 50-50 split if she doesn't have it.
I agree with you. Thank you so much for the call. Good morning.
Here's the thing. Now, you met your husband at college.
Yeah.
So you guys have always been together outside of that frame after college, right?
Right. We've never had separate bank accounts from when we graduated.
Right. But here's my thing is that I'm just going to say that there are plenty of people that move in with people that aren't sure whether or not they're going to marry this person. They have no idea.
I think I disagree, because if you're in a loving relationship and you've decided to take that next step, then you need to be considerate that one person makes more than the other, and it shouldn't matter, and it shouldn't come down to one person struggling to make ends meet when you guys have decided to go forward with your lives together.
I don't know that you've made that decision just because you're living together.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Honda of Westport Couples Court on Star. Liz and David have been dating for a while. They've decided to take the relationship to the next step and move in together.
Mm.
One problem. David says they should split the rent 50-50, and Liz disagrees because she makes significantly less than he does.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. You know, finances are always, they can be a real burden if they lead to resentment, and that's what you don't want early on. At the same time, he doesn't want to have resentment if things don't work out down the road. He just feels like this is fair.
Honda of Westport Couples Court, Star 99.9, 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on third side. I don't know if that's but I also think that when it comes to food and electric, that is not percentage. I think that should be an equal split.
So basically you're saying the rent is a separate thing, but when it comes to food and like the bills, then that should be 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, how many, it's also, you know, who does the cooking? Who's going to eat every night?
When they do laundry.
Thank you for the call. Have a good morning.
She's only going to wash 20% of his underwear. That's how it's going to work. Hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Well, her cell phone's plugged in way more than his.
I am on the boyfriend side. Because they are obviously not married. He is obviously not ready to go to a serious, serious kind of lifelong relationship. And it's not his business or financial situation. And she's putting herself in that situation as well. It's not nothing to do. If she wants convenience, then that's what it is.
Thank you for the call. Have a good morning. It is true. She gets to choose whether or not she goes in on this apartment. It's true.
Yeah.
Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi. I can't say whose side I'm on, but I will say from personal experience, this is not a roommate. This is a partnership, and we split the bills differently. I take on more traditional roles, like paying for the groceries, paying for any house stuff we might need. I pay for the Hulu bill, you know, things like that.
Right.
And he pays for the bills. He pays for the electric, the water, all those things that we need to make our house work. And then we split our mortgage, split our rent. This is supposed to be working up towards getting your accounts jointed, right? You're living together to maybe get married, to maybe work on getting your accounts together.
I mean,
this will never be a 50-50 situation. You have to deal now.
This is a really, really, really long conversation for you to not give us a vote.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Liz, our audience agreed with you. David, if you make significantly more than her, you should be paying more than her when it comes to the rent. It should be split by how much you make percentage-wise.
Sounds like socialism to me. I can't necessarily sign off on that, but I do get what you're saying, too. I mean, if you're just handicapping her every month, I mean, what's the point? You're not going to have any fun.
And there's some sort of control on it, guys. I feel like there's a little bit of control on that.
Well, I mean, if you pay in less, then there could be some control still.
But
implied, anyways. If you're going to be sensitive about that before, you're probably going to be sensitive about that after.
Well, just saying.
If he loves you and cares about you, wants a future with you, this should be a non-issue. If money is an issue before you're married, it's definitely going to be one after.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, if anybody else has an issue, send us an email to couplescore@star999.com. If he makes significantly more money than you, should you split the rent 50-50 still? Star 99.9. Earlier this morning on the Honda of Westport Couples Court, that's exactly what they were arguing about. He makes a ton more money, and she doesn't really think it's fair that they still split the cost of the apartment half. They're not even married yet. Joining us, Dr. Laura Berman. She's our relationship expert. You could hear her here every weeknight on Cover to Dr. Laura Berman. What do you think about this?
I agree with her. What's that about? If they're a unit, they're living together, they see themselves as sharing their lives together, you know, that's the intention, unless they're living together as roommates, right? If they're roommates, then they should pay half. But if they are a relationship that is really committed and intending to get married or be together forever, what is that about? And obviously, this guy's got some hangups and is cheap about money or worried about taking advantage of or has some sort of wounds that are going to make money issues an issue in your relationship. Because if you are a unit, then yeah, if he should pay more based on what he can afford. Why would he want you to spend all your money on rent? Why would he want that for you when he can afford it?
Do you think that early on that it's like waiting to see? I mean, you mentioned his hangups and his issues with it. It's probably that maybe he's looking to see her investment in their relationship or no?
Right, I don't think it's her investment. I think he's waiting. I think he's been taken advantage of probably in the past around money and has, you know, hangups about people wanting him for his money or is stingy with his money or whatever else. But he's clearly not generous with it. And I don't know what he, you know. what is he wanting to do with the money he's saving in her scrapping together her half of the rent? Like, why would he want to do that to the woman that he loves and supposedly wants to spend his life with? And by the way, don't move in with someone unless you're going to be roommates and you can't afford to live separately. Don't move in with someone unless you really are committed to a future together.
I agree with that. I feel like this is a major red flag. I think this would be like a game changer for me. If you're so cheap that you think that like the only reason why you're living with me is so you pay half the rent, like get out of here.
No, I think that time is a factor here. I mean, instead of just hanging it around him, I think his past experience, obviously, the doctor pointed out, is key. And I think that time is a factor. I mean, hey, if you moved in, you've known each other for 3 months and the time has come up and this lease is up or whatever.
Why shouldn't you be living together only knowing each other for 3 months.
You have so much more control, doctor. You're smart. The rest of the people out there, we know better.
Dr. Laura Berman, you can hear her here weeknights on Cover to Dr. Laura Berman. You got a question? She'll answer it. 855-5-UNCOVER. So everybody knows that Taylor Swift is kind of famous for writing songs about her exes to help herself get over a breakup.
Yeah, that's true.
But what a lot of people don't know is
and
that...
And to slag them exes.
Sometimes.
She slags them exes.
Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. But what a lot of people don't know is that she actually listens to certain songs after she breaks up. And she quote-unquote says she listens to these songs because they heal her heart after bad breakups or letdowns.
I think most people feel that way, right? When you're down, you give yourself something to pick yourself up. When you are remorseful, you play something a little bit melancholy.
Right. So when you think of Taylor Swift and you think of like, oh, she's going to make a bad breakup playlist, that's got to be awesome, right? She's the queen of bad breakups.
Well, I guess so, right? I mean, she had to learn that from somebody. I'm going to go with like Joni Mitchell or something classic and weird.
Now, here are the three songs that she's chosen, and they're questionable to say the least.
Let me see.
First one, actually the only one I like.
Good one.
Yeah. It's Alanis Morissette, You Learn. That's
great album.
A good one.
Fantastic album.
Yeah.
That's a great breakup album. There's anger, there's sadness, there's remorse. It's all in there.
Yeah.
Well done, Alanis Morissette.
I was into that.
You have my approval.
But then this has to be one of my least favorite songs of all time.
I guess Taylor should have checked with you first.
Corinne Bailey Rae. Remember this song? Put your
records on, tell me. No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I don't remember.
What is this?
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh,
it's good.
It's the most un-
You're right. It is a very unattractive song.
I was like, Taylor Swift.
When you put it that way.
This is the song that you've chosen to be, like tell people to listen to?
That's
like,
her cool indie background right there.
But then,
okay,
when you think it can't get worse for bad breakup songs.
Let me hear it.
Oh, brace yourself.
Okay, I mean, I'm waiting.
It's Annie Lennox.
Nice.
Why? She's just yelling, why?
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 Well, she needs to know. I love Annie Lennox. When you break Annie Lennox's heart, you did some real work.
No.
Because she's a tough one.
All right?
She's a tough
do?
Lady, and you did some real work when you break Annie Lennox's heart.
When you break her heart, all she's going to do is sit in a corner and scream. There you go.
Why?
And you can't deny her.
Why?
She's one of those undeniable presences.
Oh. I don't know.
I like that one.
You do? Would sit in a corner, curled up in a ball, and cry to Annie Lennox. Why?
No. No. So what's happening there is Annie Lennox is just screaming at you.
Oh.
All right?
Right.
She's screaming. She's just having to be doing it in tone because she's very, very talented. But she's screaming at you.
But all I kept thinking about as I was listening to these and reading over this breakup playlist that Taylor Swift has put forward is that there are some many better breakup songs that you should be listening to.
There are better songs?
Absolutely.
There's some much better.
Much better. if you want to, what is the best breakup song you can think of? Call us at 1-800-330-9999. We want to hear yours, and we're going to get to ours coming up next.
I want something that is so sad that when we play it, you immediately burst into tears.
Wait, worse than this? Why?
Don't you pick on Annie Lennox. She's a national treasure.
Oh. Taylor Swift says the three best breakup songs to listen to after a nasty breakup is Alanis Morissette, You Learn.
Good choice.
Corinne Bailey Rae, Put Your Records On.
Don't even know that one.
I can't stand that song. And Annie Lennox, Why? Which, FYI, let's listen to that one more time.
Listen, Annie Lennox could just do it. When she's screaming at you, boy, you better pay attention.
Why?
Well, let's just say that the reasons aren't important at that point. You're already breaking up.
I guess.
But...
But you really hate on that one.
I can't stand that song. Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. So we're trying to figure out what we think are the best breakup songs of all time. And I think, obviously, the one that no one has mentioned is, like, the classic here.
What do you got?
I mean, come on! How do you talk about breakup songs? You don't talk about Gloria Gaynor.
I'm just going to say, that's your mom's breakup song.
Oh, right?
I'm just going to say, that's your mom's breakup song. Although mine is an old one, too. I got that one for too.
I think that the new breakup song, and I can't believe to even say this, but it's got to be this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Yep.
It is a good song.
It is. Ariana,
you know what's nice?
Got it.
So she's talking about everybody she broke up with, but she's kind of nice. She says something nice about each of them.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of. They're all ducked.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
in the end, it all ended up the same. But, I mean, she said something nice about all of them, so it's not so bad.
Producer Christian, what song would you choose?
I chose Bad Day, Daniel Powder.
Because you had a bad day.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that one's just like, you lost.
It came over,
all
man.
Right, I'm just saying you lost in
game
that
over.
One. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was going to be more uplifting or
nope.
something like that.
It's a bad breakup.
It's a bad breakup.
I'm gonna go with a classic myself here. How about, let's do Top Gun. Little Righteous Brothers.
You said that the Gloria Gaynor is your mom's breakup.
No, I know, you're right. But here's the thing. It's like they break up and then they get back together and then everything's fine and Kelly McGillis is wicked, wicked, wicked attractive and everything works out. So, I mean, that song could go either way is what I'm saying.
All right. We want to hear from you. 1-800-330-9999. What do you think is the best breakup song of all time? Hi, Anna and Raven.
Hi, it's TLC, No Scrubs, and Tony Braxton. He wasn't man enough for me, for sure.
Those are both good choices.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Are. No Scrubs is good. Like, go get a job, boy. Thank you for the call.
Absolutely.
Have a good morning. Riding in your friend's car, living at your mama's. Yeah.
No, I don't want no scrub. The scrub isn't that I can't get no love from me.
Anna and Raven, best breakup song.
REO Speedwagon, Time for Me to Fly. That's for the old ladies out there.
Classic. Rocking the classic.
I don't even know what that is. I gotta find it.
Enough of the heartache, the humiliation.
She'd like to make a witty comment about it, but she's not familiar.
No.
Thank you for the call.
Play it for Anna. Play it. You gotta sing it at the top of your lungs to your 8-track.
Anna and Raven, best breakup song.
Just Once by James Ingram.
Just Once.
No one knows the words after just once.
Yeah, I picture him with a beard.
Right.
He's got to have a beard, right? Salt and pepper.
Just once, can we figure out what we keep doing wrong? Why we never last for very long?
Salt and pepper
and
beard.
And sitting on a stool, right?
Thank you for the call.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks.
Sometimes I see an equation written on a blackboard, like half an equation. I'll just figure it out.
Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
Hey, get out of here.
Oh my God, Danny DeVito, I love you.
Answer questions with obscure movie quotes.
You work on commission, right?
Yes. Big mistake. Huge.
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven. Powered by Scap Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Star 99.9.
Okay, Ruben, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
Sure, good luck, Ruben.
All right, Ruben. Here's how it works. Raven is walking outside the studio. When that door slams, he can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back in. Ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it does go to Raven. But if you could beat him, $100 to Little Pub. You ready?
Okay, sure.
Okay, number one. The Jonas Brothers talked about wearing these types of rings when they were younger, and they made these abstinence rings famous. What are they called?
Purity ring.
Number two, Alfonso Ribeiro dropped his lawsuit against Fortnite for using his dance moves in the game. What was the name of his dance?
The Flop.
Number three, Jennifer Lopez and this retired baseball star announced their engagement.
Alex Rodriguez.
Number four, actress Lea Michele got married over the weekend. In what TV show did she play Rachel Berry?
Glee.
And number five, everyone knows CVS Pharmacy, but what does CVS stand for?
I don't know.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back. Come on in.
How do you do?
He got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 is pretty good. Let's see how I do.
I don't know if it's enough today.
All right.
Number one, the Jonas Brothers talked about wearing these rings when they were younger, and they made these abstinence rings famous. What were they called?
It's our purity rings.
Purity rings is correct. Ruben, you're still winning 3-1. Number two, okay. Alfonso Ribeiro dropped his lawsuit against Fortnite for using his dance moves in the game. What was the name of the dance?
That's the Carlton.
The Carlton is correct. Ruben's still winning 3-2. Number three, Jennifer Lopez and this retired baseball star announced their engagement.
What a crazy cycle of events for Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod.
That is...
I believe they're really happy. I do believe it.
When he looks at her like giddy. Like, it's so cute.
I'll tell you what. I love her Instagram.
All right.
Man.
All right, you guys
wow.
tied at three. Number four, actress Leah Michele got married over the weekend. And what TV show did she play Rachel Berry?
Only show I know her from is Glee.
That is correct. Raven takes the lead 4-3. And number five, everyone knows CVS Pharmacy. What does CVS stand for?
Oh, I don't know.
Consumer Value Store.
No.
Ah, Raven, you beat him, but it was close. Ruben, he beat you 4-3 this morning.
It's Ruben from Waterbury, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you so much for trying. We appreciate it.
Better luck next time.
Thank you.
All right, make sure you're listening at 5:30 today. The Cheat Sheet with Kevin Begley. I'll give you the first two answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions.
Anna and Raven explain
world history.
Non-Star 99.9.
It's come to our attention that we know nothing about history and we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I knew about history. I've watched a lot of TV shows. But after a couple mistakes, we decided something needed to be done for our audience.
Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. Turns out a great percentage of American people don't know much about history. Mm-hmm. And that's why every week we're going to be welcoming Professor Greg Golda from Sacred Heart University. And he's going to be teaching us something so we all feel a little bit smarter and better about ourselves.
There's three people in the room. He's on top.
There I am.
So I know I sent you a topic, and I believe the topic I sent was Cuba.
Cuba.
Right. What is it? Asks Anna Zapp.
So here are the questions that I've always wanted to know, and I get to be honest now because you can't judge me based on the fact that I don't know this. What does JFK have to do with Cuba?
JFK has a lot to do with Cuba. JFK inherited Eisenhower's plan to overthrow Castro.
Wait, we were going to take over Cuba? That was the plan?
That right. was the plan.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I knew that one.
I didn't know that.
Well, they were communists.
Yeah. Okay. And it happened in 61. So it was right in the beginning of Kennedy's administration. He came in, inherited this plan that Eisenhower was hatching to get the CIA to overthrow Castro because, you know, communist scare.
Well, what do pigs have to do with it?
Oh, they swim in the ocean there.
It's
around the bay. They just swim there.
That's true, but...
do they?
That's true.
Oh, I made that part up.
Bay of Pigs was the invasion. It was what it was called, and it was a failed coup attempt. So these forces came in, landed on the shore, and were actually repulsed by the Cuban armed forces.
That okay. means that so they didn't like them. It's not what he means.
I know what repulsed means.
Okay, they were pushed back, but it didn't work out. That's all I'm saying.
So then what happened? We just gave up?
Basically, yes.
Oh, and then is that why we weren't allowed to go there on vacation, but the Canadians are?
That's because the United States broke off its relationship with Cuba because Castro reached out to the Russians.
Oh.
Immediately following the Bay of Pigs, Castro got in touch with Soviet Union and they wanted them to reinforce them because the United States is, you know, looking to essentially exploit the island. What happened is Khrushchev decided to bring in medium range nuclear missiles and put them in Cuba.
Okay.
And the United States said, oh, no.
That's bad because that's really bad. It was really close.
Right.
So that would have been bad.
Right.
But it was
right.
the equivalent of what we did in Europe.
Yeah.
We had medium range nuclear missiles in Europe. And...
I mean, I've seen X-Men. I know all about this.
That's right. Yeah, if we only had Magneto at the time.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm on top of all this, Professor.
So now this has been like this since 1961. That's right. What you're saying. So now recently in the news is that now we can go on vacation to Cuba. So yes. what's the deal with that? We're cool with them now?
Well, thanks, Obama. Right?
Yeah.
So when Castro was looking to retire, he handed off the leadership roles to his brother Raul. So Obama and Raul got together, essentially, mm-hmm. and tried to negotiate kind of a treaty where we open up Cuba. And the Pope was involved,
oh,
believe it or not.
Interesting.
He was like middleman.
Yeah, I mean, you never know who's on your text list.
I mean, Obama, you know, I mean? Texts the Pope.
Barack's got a it's mad weird. Cell phone contact.
Wouldn't you no love kidding. To see that list?
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Get your hands on that phone.
There's all sorts of people on there.
All right. Well, I feel like we're all a little bit smarter this morning. Professor Greg Golda from Sacred Heart University, thank you for giving us our history lesson
You're
this week.
You're quite welcome.
Good stories, good thoughts. good news. In a world filled with negativity, it's time to tell Anna and Raven something good. Tell me something good. Powered by Sprint. Star 99.9.
I'll tell you something good. Parsons Perk. It's a nonprofit coffee shop, and they just celebrated their third anniversary in Parsons Government Center in Milford. Joining us is Joanne Barrett and Kenny Shigal. There's something special about your coffee shop, right?
Yes, very special. It's run by our students with disabilities who are between the ages of 18 and 21. They run every aspect of the cafe, from setting it up to serving customers in the building and the public, brewing the coffee, telling the joke of the day, which Kenny would probably love to share.
Oh, Kenny, I would love to hear the joke of the day.
Yeah, I mean, that has to happen.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So what do you call a big Irish spider? Patty Long Legs.
That was a good one, Kenny.
Thank you very much.
Are you one of the servers at Parsons Perk?
Oh, yes, I am.
What do you like best about working there?
The deliveries, I'd got to say. We deliver all around the building in Parsons Government Center, and it just puts a smile on my face every day.
Joanne, how did you come up with this idea to get this launched?
Well, the program exists in the communities. Although it's a Milford Public School program, we are not housed in the schools. We are in the public, in the community, I should say. We started our day at the Parsons Complex, and we noticed that there was nothing in the building to serve the people. Mm. There was no coffee. There was a few vending machines, but that was about it. So we approached our Board of Education people, and with the idea, they helped us put it together.
And do the young adults get paid for this?
The young adults get paid a stipend through the Board of Education, and we also open a bank account for them so that they're using the money that they earn throughout the week to budget for things that they like and to participate in activities in the community.
It's a fantastic concept here. Not only are, of course, we taking on the duties that we have throughout the day to open this up and run it and maintain it on a daily basis, but the customer service skills that you're getting, the financial skills that are born out of this too, fantastic.
Yeah, money skills. Operating a cash register, interacting with all members of the community, Board of Education, and the people that work for the city in the building, as well as the community.
Kenny, I assume that you just have a blast with this.
Oh, yeah, I do.
How do you take your coffee?
It's self-serve. But it's self-serve, but...
Neither of us drink coffee.
I don't even drink coffee.
How did that happen? Gotta stay off the product, Anna.
Yeah. Joanne, I heard a rumor. Are we allowed to talk about what's next?
You are.
Okay, great.
It's official. We are expanding. We will be opening City Perks at the Milford Public Library, the same model that we have, student run, and we'll be operating from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Coming soon.
Very exciting
stuff.
Wow. Yeah.
That is
very
fantastic.
Exciting indeed.
Yeah. Parsons Perk, go check them out right now. They're in the Parsons Government Center in Milford. Go say hello to Joanne and Kenny.